Welcome to our AJAG PD Pod, the place for discussion, debate, and learning about all things accounting. Our hosts, Ivan Tabak, Jonathan Tucker, are CPAs that have been in practice for more than 3 decades. Together, they bring varying experience and viewpoints to the table, not to mention a little humor, too. Join us as we talk through current issues and hot topics, tap into expert guest insights, and enjoy the odd walk down AJAG memory lane. Before we begin today's podcast, please note, although the educational material within the podcast has been carefully prepared, none of the persons involved in the preparation of the material accepts any legal responsibility for its contents or for any consequences arising from its use. As well, the podcast material and the references contained therein may reflect laws and practices that are subject to change. Advice regarding a particular fact or situation should always be reviewed by a qualified professional. This podcast is produced and distributed by AJAG Professional Development. For more information about AJAG or any of its offerings, please visit ajag.ca.
Welcome to AJAG PD Pod, Season 2, Episode 1. We're happy to be back. And today we have a very interesting guest, Adam Bennett. Well, I hope he's going to be interesting.
I'll do my best here.
Different than most of the guests we've typically had, Adam is not a technical accountant. We're not going to talk tax or auditing, or we're going to talk mindset and coaching. Adam is a former NHL player who, after his career ended, transitioned into a very different type of business. So, Adam, welcome.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Good to be here.
Nice to have you. And so why don't you tell us a bit about yourself, your old career.
I'll try and recap and, as quickly. Yeah, exactly.
And how you transitioned into what you're doing, and a bit about how you're helping athletes these days.
Okay. No, I appreciate it. All right. So my story, I'll try and recap quickly here. From Georgetown, Ontario, small town back in the day. And was one of the lucky ones to have advanced through the system very quickly. Was drafted second overall into the OHL, and then the very next year was drafted 6th overall into the NHL. Chicago Blackhawks, a lot of fans out there. And just slowly moved into the comfort zone of a NHL player, the lifestyle. But it was a tough transition for me because I was coming up against a lot of mental issues, confidence, or more importantly, the lack thereof. Had all the physical skills, but what really blocked me from blossoming was mindset, was mental strength. And I kind of hit a wall in Chicago, was up against a difficult situation, coaching styles that didn't mesh with me. And I ended up having to kind of get myself into mindset. They didn't really, we're talking 30 years ago, didn't really have the tools available to assist the players as quickly as they do today. And so I got into mindset, and I just assumed everybody knew what mindset was and everybody had mental strength. And so I kind of coached myself into this field. And unfortunately, my career ended I guess really before it started to take off. I was traded to Edmonton and got a serious injury, which really challenged my mental strength and mindset for a few years until I was forced to retire. That was in 1996. And, I did get into financial services for a little bit, found that it really wasn't my niche. I fell back into hockey thanks to Cindy Bauer, Johnny Bauer's daughter, who was a power skating coach for me way back when, got me back into hockey. And I've, I've kept my 15 minutes of fame going for 30 years here. I've transitioned into many different positions in the sports industry predominantly, but always used mindset as the thing that separated me from everybody else. So, I was coaching, but I was also coaching mindset, not just X's and O's as most coaches would do, but really getting the player to blossom and build mental strength. So, trying to make a long story short here, I ended up in Florida. I was working as a advisor for hockey players. The pandemic hit, so therefore a lot of players were really struggling mentally, And that's where it really brought out, you know, my mindset coaching. And after the borders reopened, I came back to Canada, and the demand for mental strength coaching kind of took off. And that became the forefront. You know, I was always doing mindset along right. with whatever else I was doing. But now it was, you know what, I'm just going to go full time into this because I really feel there's a need. And unfortunately, what I found was when I was in Florida, away from the Toronto, Ontario market, the average age of my client would be junior, let's say 16 to 20. I come back into Ontario, into, you know, the Toronto market, the age of where parents feel the kids needed, I mean, it's stretched as low as 9 years old.
Really?
Unfortunately. You know, sometimes kids need to work out things on their own and kind of get the experiences, but, you know, I'm available for now basically anybody to get mindset. And, you know, I'm kind of known as the hockey guy, but I've worked in every sports. Okay, so let's touch on that. But I've also stretched into corporate. And, you know, now we're talking today about accounting, and everybody needs mindset. We all have similar issues. Now, athletics is one industry, and these are just normal people, though, doing extraordinary things. And it's the same thing in every other industry. So I'm assuming, you know, accounting, hey, these are just normal people doing amazing things.
Questionable.
but they all have, we all share similar problems.
Right.
We all deal with this voice and our confidence and handling stress and overcoming these difficulties. We're all just trying to get through life. And it really helps when there's a coach that kind of gives you tools so that you can manage these situations. Right. You're not trying to figure it out on your own. It's like, okay, here you go. This is how we handle it. Anybody can build mental strength. But if you don't know how, it's kind of like going into a gym, but you don't know how to use the equipment. Right, you're not going to be as successful, but if you have a trainer, obviously you're going to be able to succeed a little bit quicker.
Yeah, and I think the timing of our discussion here is great because, you know, all the accountants that are going to be watching this are hitting into tax season, which right. is obviously, you know, the most stressful time of the year for us. And I know I can speak for myself that, you know, you put blinders on and you just go in and and there is incredible amounts of stress.
Right.
And often it can be difficult to deal with.
Sure.
Sometimes the only way to deal with it is put in more hours.
Certainly. That's one of the ways. I mean, people don't get stressed over what they're doing. They get stressed over what they're not doing or what they're avoiding. And it's the forecasting. When the mind goes... you know, we know there's a tax season, okay? So we're already anticipating this onslaught of work, stress. We're already anticipating it. So the mind's going, and then we have this physical reaction, which causes stress, anxiety. We lose sleep. But, you know, it affects our health when the mind is racing through this. And, you know, mindset is about trying to stay in the present, tackling what we can control. When we start to worry about what is upcoming or stress about what we're not doing, mm-hmm. we need to know what steps to take in order to alleviate that. Right. And it's the same for, you know, we have the Super Bowl coming up in a couple of weeks. So, you know, these athletes are anticipating what is coming. And you'll hear in the next couple of weeks as they interview, it's like, we're just going to treat it as another game. We're just going to go through our regular mostly. And that's literally what you have to do. Yes, the workload is going to be heavier. Yes, there's going to be more demands. And as you said, more time into it. Okay, there are strategies to get through it so that you don't have to stress about it. And I think everybody just needs to remind themselves too that you've done this before. You'll get through this again.
Right.
Right. So don't fear what is coming. In fact, prepare for what's coming, and that is taking control of things that I can do now in order to kind of work my way through this, you know, this season of stress coming up.
So let's take a step back. Just talk about when you first got yourself into this and learning about it. So you said you taught yourself how to deal with some of the mental issues.
Fortunately, they didn't have this. Listen, 30 years ago, we never had discussions about mental health.
Right. So Give me a few examples, let's say, of what you came up with, how you helped manage your own stress and tried to get yourself out of the funk you were finding yourself in.
Okay. So yeah, 30 years ago, we never talked about mental health. It was always seen as a weakness. Nobody wanted to discuss it. And if you go through traditional therapy, it was going to take too long. I mean, they're going to talk about the issues and they're going to try and guide you, through, long discussions about trying to resolve it. But in a world that we're in now, we want to be able to make change quickly. And for me, how I found it was late night television. And there's Tony Robbins, on screen talking about the exact thing that I needed, right? Being able to make change quickly, take control of the mind. So I bought all of his books, bought his tapes and his CDs back in the day. And I just absorbed everything. I just got into the world of mindset, what it is, how to control it. And then when to use the tools. And that's what I teach is tools. So, I mean, you need to know, what to apply in certain situations, but basically why do we stress? Okay, we stress over things that we're not doing, things that we don't control. We're focused on the future. If I can be aware that my mind has shifted, if I can pick up the signals, then I can bring it back into the present moment, right? We had a brief discussion right before about, do I want to know the questions? Like, no, I just want to stay in the present so that I can give the best advice. I'm not trying to think ahead. And that's the process. Athletes will try and stay in the present. So you'll see a lot of them focusing on their breathing, right? We breathe, but we're not focused on it. And so if I can focus on my breathing, that is simply an exercise to bring my mind back into the present. And suddenly everything else kind of goes away. The worry starts to leave because I am focused on something that I can control. Yeah, this happens over and over for athletes, right? That voice that we have inside of our head every day, the one that challenges us, basically. If people aren't aware, the average person is going to have about 60,000 thoughts a day, okay? From the time they wake up until, bedtime, and then even in dream state, the mind is constantly thinking, thoughts pumping through. 80% of those thoughts are going to be negative. So the real challenge in your day is overcoming 48,000 negative thoughts. And now we don't initiate these thoughts. This is just how the brain is wired.
Right.
It is wired to find negativity. It's wired to be a survival tool for us. So it's always on the lookout. And if we understand that we're normal when we have self-doubts, it's normal to have fears and anxieties. But what separates the great from the average is their ability to switch back into control mode, back into the present. And that's where I kind of work with my clients is, okay, what are we really focused on? What are you hearing? What are you feeling? And how are those feelings and thoughts coming in? What do we do to make a mindset shift? So if you're aware that you have negative thoughts, you can make a change. Okay? Most of the time, and here's another stat, 95% of our daily activity is subconscious. That's why we're not aware that we have these thoughts.
Right. Now, I was going to say, it's probably one of the hardest parts of this is to get yourself aware, to be able to recognize when this is happening and to stop and then use some of the techniques that you would be teaching, because you get so focused on what you're doing, even if you've got these negative thoughts looking around in the back while you're working.
Right.
You don't stop. You have this task and it's got to get done.
Right.
And you just plow through it while suffering.
Well, yeah. And you don't have to.
Yeah.
Right. You don't have to. You can certainly enjoy the process. And that might sound odd here for this industry, like enjoying, completing the task, taking pride in your work. You can enjoy the process. Yes, it could be difficult. Yes, you're going to have some challenges, but every industry does. Right. And anybody that is successful at anything has failed more than they've succeeded. So understanding that there are going to be challenges, and yet I've been through this before. I can do it again. And we, you know, we change that narrative that's happening in our mind, where the negativity starts to come and we start to feel bad. Our energy starts to drain. And we start to forecast a lot more negativity. And it's just, it's like a, it's this little negative loop that goes over. Like I said, we're not aware. We're not aware that it's happening. But we need to wake up the conscious mind. Once you do that, then everything starts to change.
Right. Okay. So I keep going back to NHL, but I think that's probably the most interesting part of what we're going to talk about. But what was the most valuable lesson you learned in your career in this regard? And how do you apply it to the mindset coaching?
That's a loaded question. The biggest one I learned was this happened probably after the fact. I mean, when you're in the storm, when you're in, you know, dealing with the negativity and the lack of confidence, you want to address that first. What I found after the fact was I took everything personally. You know, a coach, you know, trying to give me advice or, you know, pointing out my mistakes and trying to coach me through it, I would always take that personally. I didn't realize that I had a fixed mindset. I didn't even know there was a difference between fixed and growth, if people aren't aware that you have two different mindsets. And once you get a grasp of what the fixed is and how it basically, you know, hurts you in developing and pushing through, because, you know, failure is a part of the process. And when you come up against a wall, if you have a fixed mindset, your natural instinct is to retreat, to quit, to, you know, go back into yourself so as not to reveal your flaws. So that came probably a few years after I started getting, you know, into learning more about myself. My first task was I need to fix my confidence issues. I need to get back on the ice. I need to, you know, I need to put the fun back in what I'm doing. And once I got over that hurdle, and you know, the tools was basically I need to control what I can control. I need to take charge of the voice inside my head. And what changed it for me was, you know, sitting in my stall, Chicago, the old Chicago Stadium, the old barn, getting ready to go on the ice and just simply repeating the word compete. Just go and compete, right? I was a perfectionist, you know, afraid to make mistakes. And this is where confidence starts to drop, is where you fear making mistakes, fear being exposed as less than perfect. I said to myself, you know what? I'm just going to compete and I'm just going to let the rest, you know, lay where it lays kind of thing. It's just, you know, if I mess up, I mess up. If I fall down, I'm going to get back up again and I'm just going to compete. So I basically changed my identity. And I teach this with my guys, you know, and girls, I apologize, all the athletes, is you need to create the identity that you want. Once you create the identity, you can start to fill that role. So for instance, actors play a role. When they're on stage, they are somebody else. They take on the characteristics of somebody else. You can do that too. You don't have to show up bringing the baggage from home. You know, you had an argument with your spouse in the morning, the kids kind of set you off, and you know, your mind is racing about. You can go in as a character and play the role. This is something that you identify. It works extremely well for the elite athletes who may not be in the mood to, you know, be the best that day. Maybe they had an argument at home or something, who knows? But they know that when it's showtime, they have to perform. And that's the same for corporate. When it's showtime, when you are in the spotlight, when your, you know, demands are there, you can simply perform by taking on the characteristics of the image that you want to. So you don't have to be a victim. I chose to be a competitor, right? I had an image in my mind, and I know, you know, for hockey fans out there, Chris Pronger has come out and said the exact same thing. This is what he did. He suffered with mental health issues and confidence issues, same as me. He developed a character that he would use on the ice. And so he would just kind of use his mental tools to get into character, and that's how he was going to perform.
True.
So you can say, well, how does that work in the corporate world? Is it right, the same thing? Can be. right? Can be. It may work for some, maybe not so much for others. There's other tools. I am a big fan of organization, right? Where I have all of my clients have to, I get them to create a must-do list. So every morning when they wake up, they are prioritized in exactly what they need to do. Like, these are must-dos, okay? Not want-to-dos, wish-to-do, hope-to-do. When they wake up, they're focused. They know exactly what they need to tackle for the day. So if you are overwhelmed, create a must-do list. What are the most important things that I need to tackle today? Right. And when I'm focused on getting projects done and I start to see those things cross off, I feel better about myself. I'm making progress. I'm not worried about the things that I can't control and, you know, future events. I am simply tackling this day, and so I remain in the present. Right. And once that's done, you feel better about yourself.
Yeah.
That would be a simple tool that people can use. I'm sure they have to-do lists and everything like that. I'm sure. But if they really focus in on what are the musts, what are the things I must tackle today, and the day doesn't end until I get those things done. That sort of organizes them. They feel confident because I'm accomplishing the small tasks.
Right. I know, you know, in my case, I've always maintained a to-do list. And what part of the to-do list becomes must-do, well, that depends on whatever deadlines are
perhaps
coming up.
Sure.
And things change throughout the day. You know, yep, you're trying to do this must-do, but you find you're missing a piece of information. So you can't do the must-do. So you shuffle it. But I agree, just slashing one off the page, and I keep a paper list.
Yep.
It's satisfying.
Every
day. It is.
Yeah. And here's one more thing you can add to that list. And everybody should do this. Put three or four things down that you're thankful for. Gratitude list. We overlook all of the positive things in our lives. And if you really want to feel good about yourself, just show a little bit of gratitude. Be thankful for this podcast. Be thankful that I was invited to come out and, you know, like, and share my tools and, you know, knowledge. That gives me a good positive feeling. If I were not to show gratitude, I would just simply let this moment pass. Everybody can do this. And it works no matter what situation you're in. Give you an example. Not too long ago, I guess a couple of months ago, I was going to give a speaking engagement, and where I live, I'm on the QEW up and down quite a bit. And this particular day, traffic was stopped. I had no choice but to wait in traffic, ride it out. And what do we all do when we're sitting in traffic? We get upset, we get frustrated, we get bitter, we get, you know, all this starts. And so I picked up the signals. I'm like, you know what? I don't control the situation. Let me try and find some gratitude. I'm thankful that there's an audience that wants to hear what I have to say. I'm thankful that I get to share my knowledge and experience. I'm thankful for people wanting to hear, right? And so by just shifting my mind into what was normally a pretty bad situation, everybody would be angry, I'm able to find some solace and say, you know what? It's not all bad. Right? I'm on my way to an event that people want to hear what I have to hear. And so I can be thankful for that. Takes your mind off of the stress that you're in at the moment. Can't do anything about it. You might as well try and find some positivity. And that can happen in almost any situation. So if you're a busy accountant, be thankful that you're busy.
That you're busy, yeah.
The alternative is you're not busy.
Exactly.
You're not bringing in the income. Right? You're stressing over money. You know, the season has passed. Be thankful that you have the workload. It will give you a total different sense of what you're involved in. If you're overwhelmed because you have that many clients, give thanks. Be appreciative. I think it'll change your perspective on the whole thing.
Interesting.
It will give you peace in the storm.
Right.
Right? Because when you're in the storm, the mind starts to go, you start to overthink the process, and you start to worry about everything. If you can just find a little bit of grace, a little bit of peace, and say, you know what? I'm thankful I have this clientele coming to me. I'm thankful I'm able to help businesses and people with their tax situations. I'm, you know, like, there's so much to be thankful for.
Right.
If you can do that in the storm, you're going to find that your handling it much better than everybody else that's dressing.
Right. So let me circle back to something you mentioned just a few minutes ago. So you talked about wanting to be perfect, can't make a mistake. And, you know, so when you were going to go out and play, you had to accept that you can't be perfect.
Right.
When I'm working on files and tax returns and planning and any, you know, any other aspect for a client, I basically have to be perfect because not being perfect is going to or could result in, you know, minor or significant implications for the client and for myself. I mean, that's why we have to carry insurance. So, so sometimes, you know, not that I can say I've never had to make a claim, luckily, but, you know, have there ever been cases where in theory, that kind of situation could have come up? Yeah.
Right.
Never happened. But there's always that fear, I suppose, is what it is, or the expectation that you have to be right. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's your reputation, and it could result in, you know, legal issues, financial, you know, penalties and whatnot.
Right. You're worried about what is. Does that change the process? Does that mean you don't try?
No, of course not.
Right.
You do your best. I mean,
worrying about worst case scenarios does not work. We all do it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't help. Did I think I needed to be perfect? Yeah, that was what my problem was. But it doesn't change the process.
You're still going to do.
You're still going to do the best you can do at that time. You can do at the time. And if I worry about possible outcomes, that's where the stress comes in. So if I can just get rid of that mindset that I have to be perfect, I understand. We all want to do a great job. We all want to make perfect returns. We all want to do the job. Great. Then focus on the process. Or put policies in place so that, you know, there's double checking or triple checking if you have that, you know, support staff around you, whatever. But it doesn't, worrying about outcomes doesn't help. It's certainly not going to put you in the right place in order to do your job. If you're stressing over outcomes, you know, I just saw a movie not too long ago about, you know, defusing a bomb. If I worry about the outcomes, my hands will be shaking. I'm going to, you know, trim.
Right.
What they do is they just focus on the process. Just take it slow, do your job, and then the outcomes will take care of themselves. And it's.
And if they're not perfect, well.
You're still going to do the best job that you can.
Right.
Okay. But stressing about outcomes is, you know, it's the wrong approach. It's the same thing going into, you know, going into a sporting event. Are we going to win? That is irrelevant. What determines if it's a perfect return is the work that I do in the present. As long as I keep doing my, you know, my checklist and I'm working through the process, if I follow everything the way it's supposed to, the outcome will take care of itself. Is it possible that you make mistakes? Yeah, could be. Okay. But that's always there. Why worry about it?
Right.
You're worried about future events.
Right.
And what I'm trying to say is you don't have to do that. When you become aware that I'm stressing over outcomes, then I need to focus in on the process. And that's in the present moment. I know for people, they may not understand because they live in a world of stress and, you know, anxiety and, you know, all this fear and, you know, dealing with negativity and, you know, maybe difficult clients. But hey, everybody, every industry has these issues. What separates the great from the average is the ability to bring themselves back into the present. Focus on the process. If I focus on step by step doing what I'm supposed to do, I'm not worried about the outcome anymore. I'm not stressing over it. I feel better about myself because I'm in control. I always talk, you know, stress comes from focusing on things you don't control. So if I can make that mindset shift, my stress level is going to go down. I'm actually going to enjoy the process a little bit more. Cross off my must-dos and then, you know, carry on into the next task. It sounds simple, and it is, once you know how to do it. And that's where people don't understand is, you know, how do they play in the Super Bowl? They got a billion people watching them. Like, where are their nerves? They're not thinking about that. They're not thinking outcomes. They're not thinking about things they don't control. They're basically, what's the play? Where am I going to run? Right. And, you know, keep my eye on the ball. That's basically what they're doing. Right. And everybody can use the same philosophy. You know, we're going to do the best that we can. We're going to focus on the process. We'll let everything else kind of take care of itself.
Right. That's interesting. You know, I've always got cases or files where I put them aside. There, you know, there's no imminent deadline, but it's this mess of a job that has to get done.
Sure.
And I put it aside. And then I, you know, I do other things and I look at it and I say, nah, I can't. I just can't.
Yeah.
And then I come back to it. And it's funny because I always have at least one like that.
Okay.
And it just sits on the corner of my desk.
Right.
And it stresses me out.
You know,
thinking about having to tackle it and saying, okay, again, I just don't have it in me to pick up that mess and work on it.
What would it feel like if you did just tackle a little bit of it?
Well, I'll tell you, like, from having gone through so many of these over the years, eventually when I pick it up, I mean, I know that I will focus on that job and work through it and deal with it. And right. It's rarely as bad as I imagined it to be.
Exactly.
And even still knowing that, I still can't get past it
right
when I have the next one. Because
right.
I have this, I go through the same process.
Yep.
Even though
yeah,
I know somewhere. Yeah.
You procrastinate. Do you know why you procrastinate?
I wish I knew, because there's a lot of other things I procrastinate.
Everybody
too.
Yeah, well, exactly. Give me what's another example of something you procrastinate at?
Cleaning up my office. I mean, I've got stuff that, you know, not necessarily jobs that have to be done, but things right. that have to get sorted and filed and scanned and put away and yep. shredded and you know, and it builds and people, clients walk into my office. They like, how do you work in this mountain of paper?
Right.
This is my process.
Yep.
I know where everything is.
Right.
And I know I have to deal with it, but I just can't. Then, you know, every once in a while I'll chip away at something. And I'll get a burst of energy or, you know, I'll be able to focus for an hour, 2 hours, and I'll get some of it done. And mm-hmm. then that feeling just goes.
Exactly.
And it might take a week, a month, sometimes a year before I can get that back to go deal with the rest of it.
So here's why you procrastinate. And here's how to fix it. Okay. All procrastination comes, let me backtrack. All decisions, like you're making a decision to put off. Right, that's what procrastination is. You know you should do it, but we're going to push that off. We don't feel like it. The reason we procrastinate is we've attached pain to it. And that's every decision that we make. It's either a pain or a pleasure point. Okay? So, if I were to say to you, let's say you have a client, they have a deadline that is, I'm going to push it out a couple of months. Okay? Now you have other priorities and things like that, but you have a deadline of a couple of months out. Do you do it right away? Most people, and if it, you know, for people that were in school, if there's an assignment that's not due for another month, well, I'm not doing it right away. Right? They attach pain with doing the work and pleasure of avoiding it, right? Comfort. Our brain wants to stay comfortable. It's always going to talk us out of getting uncomfortable. That's why getting out of bed is a problem, because the brain just wants to stay comfortable. That's why we don't go to the gym, because the brain, like, I don't know, this is uncomfortable. I don't want to do this. We attach pain to it, so we procrastinate. Now, let's say, you know, a month goes by, 2 months go by. Now the deadline's approaching. Do you do it? Yes. Because the pain of not doing it becomes good. So the scales start to tip, right? So I attach pain to it today and pleasure. Okay. I want the pleasure. So I'm going to avoid. But then the scales start to tip. And suddenly the pain of not doing it becomes greater. And I do it. And then how do I feel? Good. I should have done that a long time ago. We all say that. We all do it. We all, like, why didn't I start months ago at the gym? And, you know, because we attach this pain of getting started, this pain of going through it. This is true for everybody. The joy you seek is on the other side of the pain you're avoiding. So the office that needs to get cleaned up, you've attached pain to some degree of getting started. Now, what I coach is just put 5 minutes into it. Tell me how you feel. 5 minutes gets the momentum going. Remember, I wasn't in a state ready to do this, right? I wasn't in a state of going to the gym and, you know, exercising and sweating. And no, that's uncomfortable. But if I go and I start 5 minutes into it, suddenly it's like, oh, this isn't so bad. And 5 minutes turns into 10. And before you know it, your office is cleaned up. And you're like, why didn't I do this a long time ago? Simply because of pain and pleasure. It's understanding why we procrastinate. I do it. Everybody does it. We all put off stuff that we feel, oh, I can do this another time.
Right.
But I also learned that if I just get started, even though I don't feel like it, because I'm not in that state right now, if I just get started, I will move into that state and suddenly I'll get things done. So again, I'm going to stress over things that I'm not doing, avoiding, but if I just tackle them, I will start to feel so much better. And I'll think, why didn't I do this sooner? Yeah. It happens for everybody. Everybody can relate. That's why we procrastinate. We just simply attach pain to it. And we can learn to find joy in it. Let's talk about the gym. Right? Everybody knows they're supposed to work out, get healthy, eat right. Why do people avoid it? Pain. But some people see not going to the gym as painful, right? It's all about perception, mm-hmm. right? So if you identify as athletic and healthy and that's my lifestyle, and not going to the gym, that becomes an issue. So I find joy in working out. It's my identity. It's what I do. And I book my time and this because it makes me feel good. I attach pleasure to working out. Not every day. I'm not in that state right away. But if I just get started, I don't argue with myself. Like if it's in my must do or it's on my list or to-do list, I just put the sweats on and I have a workout area at home. But I just get started. I don't always feel like it, but I've made a commitment to me that this is important and I've never regretted having a workout. I've regretted not doing it.
Right.
I've never regretted doing it. And same thing, cleaning your office. You've never regretted cleaning your office. You regret not doing it.
Right.
So why not eliminate regret? It's taking control where the mind is talking you out of things that you're supposed to do. This is what those 60,000 thoughts, that's what it's doing. It's telling you to avoid pain. Go for pleasure. Like the foods that you eat. We know we're supposed to eat healthy foods, but there's this pleasure, you know, the ice cream or the chips, or you deserve it. The voice is like, you deserve it, right? You should please yourself.
Right.
That's why people choose the foods that they do. It's all a pain and pleasure point. So once we understand that, and that means I learn so much about me. If you're just going through the day and without consciously taking control of the mind, you won't be happy where you end up. You'll look back years and go, how did this happen? Because you didn't have clarity. You didn't know exactly what you wanted. When you know what you want, life gets easier. I know what I want. Therefore, my choices get easier. If coming to the studio today, it's like the GPS. I know where I want to go. Do I make a left or a right? Well, I know I want to go here, so I need to make a left. Like life gets easier when you've clearly identified exactly what you want and why you make the decisions you do.
Right. But that's, the toughest question you can never ask somebody.
Why? What do you want?
It's a simple question to ask. It's difficult. People don't know what they want.
Exactly.
They know what they don't want.
Why?
Because the brain is always telling them to avoid the pain, right? I've said this to professionals all over. What do you want? Well, I don't want a 9-to-5. I don't want a boss I hate. I don't want an employee. No, that wasn't the question. The question is, what do you want? Once you've identified that, like I said, the life gets easier. It's because we're in a fog. And I've talked about this many times before, is if you don't know where the end goal is, you're in a fog because everything's coming at you. You don't know whether to make a left or a right or, this decision. It's just, you don't know because you're in a fog. You don't have clarity. Goals give you clarity. I'm talking like the, specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, time bound. Okay. Like we're going to make a goal, not a wish. We're going to make a goal. I needed to be at this location at a certain time. Once I have that goal, well, then I backtrack. I know what time I'm supposed to leave. I know what route I'm supposed to take, right? The GPS will adjust. If there's a detour, it doesn't change my end goal. I just have to reroute and go back around. But life is like that. But so many people go through life not really consciously deciding, this is what I want. And they end up in lives that they never anticipated. They're not happy. Why? Because they just simply went with the flow, or they did what was expected. They never consciously made a decision that this is who I am and this is what I want. And once you do that, boy, life gets more enjoyable. It's you have clarity. And once you have clarity, everything else kind of goes away.
So when you're working with client,
mm-hmm.
I presume that's the type of thing you try and pull out of them or get them to realize about themselves.
Correct.
So let's take an example of a typical client that you might have who comes to you for mindset coaching. So can you give us, briefly, like how do you work with them? How do you start? What type of basic exercises would you give them to try and pull out of them the answers to these big questions that we all struggle with? And then from figuring out what they want to take them to try and get to that place or
right.
closer to that place?
Great question. So the very first thing I do with all of my clients is I give them a mental assessment to determine their strengths and weaknesses, right? To understand how they think, to kind of get into their mindset. So I, as a coach, need to know how you think, how you operate. And then I can sort of custom the coaching to you, right?
So what does that look like? What do you do to get that understanding?
Probably a lot of your clients would have this, like in the hiring process, they would do a personality test.
Okay.
So it's kind of the same thing, right? I'm going to give them an online test, right? They just do it on their own. Takes about 10 or 15 minutes for them to complete the test. But for me, it's a wealth of information. I know it's, 24 pages of how your mind thinks and how you operate. We have two faces, right? Ivan, I see your public image. I don't know your private image. I don't know what issues you're dealing with, right? Those you deal in your self view. You might be very critical of yourself. I don't know, right? So what the assessment does, it kind of taps me into that self-view, lets me know what you think about yourself. Because everybody has limiting beliefs. I'll give you an example. I was dealing with an athlete recently. And I said, okay, what do you want? What's your goal? And kind of hummed and hawed a little bit. And for most of my athletes, I mean, these are high caliber elite levels. For most of them, they want to turn professional. Okay, so NHL for a lot of my hockey guys. He was resistant of putting that as his goal. Even though he's an elite athlete playing AAA hockey and, you know, doing extremely well, he was resistant to acknowledge that, hey, maybe I can be an NHL. So this is called what we call a limiting belief. He doubted himself, right? So that's a self-view. I wouldn't have known that if we didn't kind of tap into it. Like, where's your confidence level? Where's your self-esteem? How do you see yourself? Because we put on a brave face when we come out in public. We don't carry our problems generally. We just, you know, how's life? Good. You know, everything's great. You go back home and you deal with the problems, with the issues, the confidence things, the, you know, the mindset. So the mental assessment gives me that insight into your inner psyche. How do you think? How do you, you know, where's your focal points? Because when you're focused on problems, you're going to find problems everywhere. And when you're focused on problems, you're going to feel like crap, right? You're not going to feel good about yourself. You're not going to be focused on solutions, which would be the better option. And for, you know, accountants that are drowning in work, let's say, they're focused on the problem. Oh, I've got all this work to do. I've got all these clients to do. Okay, focus on the solution. Make a plan. This is the mindset shift. Okay? You are focused on negativity and it's hurting you. So focus on positivity, solutions. And this isn't just positive thinking, wishful thinking. It's like, no, I'm taking charge and I'm going to, you know, attack the pain. Right, I'm going to go through the pain.
Right.
I'm going to get
file.
It all sort of connects. It's like, okay, I'm focused on the wrong thing, and this is what athletes are. They if they don't have a belief in themselves, nobody else is going to have belief in them. They're only going to go as far as they believe they can go. And I did a coaching engagement with a group, and you know, I said, "What do you want?" Right? We started talking about, you know, planning for the future. And somebody says, I want to be a billionaire. Everybody laughed. I said, why? Well, why can't he be a billionaire? And everybody's like, that's their limiting beliefs. But he says, I'm going to be a billionaire. And I would say to everybody, success is simple. Success is simple. Are there billionaires out there? Yes. So why can't you be one? Now, here's the catch. It's not easy. Everybody wants easy. Right? Everybody's willing to pay the price until it becomes too steep that they're not willing to push through anymore. Everybody can be successful. It's simple, but it's not easy. So that's the difference. Right? So if somebody believes that they can achieve something, chances are they might just do it. But if you don't believe you're going to achieve something, then your chances are zero.
Right. I guess that's why the lottery makes so much money, right?
Everybody, yeah.
You want?
Yeah. It's no. Everybody wants easy, right? Everybody is only willing to pay a price up to a certain point, and that's where everybody starts to retreat. That's where the pain comes up. They're not seeing results right away, and that, you know, we have to understand that sometimes. Sometimes the big rewards are they're just going to take a little bit longer. Doesn't mean that you're not going to get there. Just because you don't have results today of where you want to be, right? I want to be, you know, this millionaire. Okay, well, you're not there yet, but if I do the work, the daily grind, the process, if I do that, eventually I'll be able to get there. But if I don't follow the process, then I'll never achieve it. And people look at the distance to go and they retreat. Like, they start to believe, oh, this isn't going to happen for me. You know, I'll never be that person. I'll never have that outcome. So they fall back into comfort zones. But the recipe is out there for everything. You want to be, you know, billionaire? Recipe's there. I use the example of the baker all the time. You know, you walk into a bakery, there's a beautiful cake in the window. And you talk to the baker and say, I'd love to bake that cake. He gives you the recipe. Simple.
Yeah.
I just need to follow the recipe. Right. I just need to put the ingredients together. I need to, you know, bake it for so long. Now, will it be exactly the same? No. But it might be close. Might be better with enough practice.
Right.
Okay. But but I just need to know the recipe. So this might be helpful for everybody in the corporate world to say, okay, who do you want to be like? What is the organization that you want to run? Or like, you know, who's that mentor that you believe that you can achieve that status? And then just follow the recipe. You don't have to recreate the wheel. It's like, okay, I want to be like, you know, Bezos. Okay, well, then you need to follow the recipe. You need to come up with a unique idea that everybody's going to flock to. I mean, that's where it's not easy.
Okay, that's it. You try and say, okay, you sit down, people think, yeah, I need an idea. Okay, so I'm just going to sit here and think something up like this. But no,
yeah. Well,
how can there be any unique ideas? There's so many businesses and so many things have been done. How can I think of something that hasn't been done?
Well,
until you do, right?
I forget what year it was, the patent office in the U.S. where the guys, what was it? It was a long time ago, where he says everything that's been invented as everything that could be invented has been invented. And somewhere out there, there's ideas. Now, you have to be consciously looking for the ideas or the opportunities.
Right.
Okay. Now, you can either, you know, try and do something new, okay, or, you know, we use Bezos as one example, but, okay, you use an athlete, okay? I want to be the next Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan got cut from his high school team, okay? What did he do? He just worked harder, right? He took 1,000 shots a day every day. And why is Steph Curry so good at basketball? He takes 500 shots a day. Now, if I may or may not be able to get to that status, but I know if I follow the recipe, I may have a similar outcome. May or may not. I mean, basketball wasn't my thing.
You won't be the same, but maybe you'll be good enough.
And find your way after. Yeah, there's always somebody just ahead of you that you can just follow their pattern. Okay, and I did this. I'm doing this in my mindset business. Okay? I'm not recreating the wheel. I'm just simply following the path of other leaders who have, you know, accomplished great things that I would love to do. I'd love to have that lifestyle. So I have my end goal. It's like, okay, well, what steps do I need to do today? And am I where I want to be? No. But that's the journey, right? I'm thankful I'm not where I used to be. Okay, you start from nothing. Everybody does. And we start to build something. Am I where I want to be? No. But I'm on the journey. As long as I keep following the process, success has no option but to find me. Okay, and it's becoming valuable. And this might be another lesson for your accountants. Success is not something you go and chase. You don't go running around and, you know, trying to snap up everybody. If you want real success that lasts, become so valuable that success finds you, right? Where people are talking about you and the job you did and how you handled yourself and how you've, you know, effectively did the work. If I become valuable, success will come to me. I don't need to go out and chase it. This happens with athletes all the time. They make this big mistake. I got to go to all these tournaments. I got to go out. You know, I got to hit all these markets. I got to get in front of people. No. Become so good at what you do, people will find you.
Right.
They will seek you out. That is a key to success.
Right. So the difference between from the accounting side is going out and networking and sometimes advertising and just trying to, you know, cast as wide a net as you can to get clients to come to you. But the problem with that is you don't always get the best clients and they're not necessarily coming to you for the right reason.
Perhaps,
but
you're spending a lot of energy on something that may or may not pay off.
Right, but if you do a good enough job, you'll get the word of mouth and the referrals and build that way. And the clients are usually a better quality client.
Yeah, you've built trust in your business and you've created value for yourself. That becomes attractive to everybody else. Because, you know, every industry has word of mouth and your reputation precedes everybody. You don't need to walk into a room and start, you know, handing out business cards when you have value. when you walk into a room with value, people turn to you and say, oh, there's the guy.
So when you get that call of the referral, you've been to a large extent pre-sold by your referral source.
Right.
So somebody's coming and usually ready to come to work with you. Mm-hmm. It's not often that I get a referral and they're saying, well, I'm interviewing two or three people. It happens, but for the most part, they're referred and they're ready to go.
Correct.
Which I would say, I mean, despite all the self-doubts that I have about many things, that's always a good feeling when I get referred a client from someone else who trusts me enough to do it, or like my work enough to do it. So
that's the value I
try to find in my job.
Right. But that's focusing on you.
Yeah.
You control you 100%. You control the work ethic that you put in, the knowledge that you gain, right? By becoming valuable, clients come to you. That's a big key in every industry.
Right.
It's not always the best. They'll flame out after a while, right? If you want greatness, legacy, right? It is increasing your value, right? So that you'll never dip. Right? You'll just trajectory will just keep going up for you, right? Eventually, where you'll be like, okay, I've achieved my goals or whatever, and then you aspire to something new or not. Right, it's a great place to be in when you're focused on you and not things that you don't control.
So this has been a fascinating discussion, and it's something that I hope I will keep in my mind long enough to be able to try and recognize some of the issues you mentioned. And so why don't we maybe end this off with If you could give a couple of quick exercises that people listening can use to help themselves now and through the coming tax season nightmare.
Yeah. Yeah.
That we see.
Well, see, you using the word nightmare is already triggering. You know what I'm saying? The words that you use have power. If I were to say to you the coming season, the coming season is going to be a nightmare. We start to create this little fear.
That's true.
The coming season is going to be a challenge, right? It's going to be a challenge. Just changing the word, you say, well, that's kind of superficial, but we have neuroassociations. We have links between words and feelings. Hey, it's going to be a challenge today. Okay, I'm ready to take on a challenge. It's going to be a nightmare today. And already I'm in the wrong state. So a couple of things that people can do. Wake up with your must-do list. Take timeouts. You talked before about plowing through the work, and it becomes a grind, and you start to lose sharpness a little bit. So when it starts to feel overwhelming, right, where we're drowning in work, right, again, this image that we create, take a timeout. It just doesn't have to be long, a couple of minutes, if that. Just breathe. Just breathe all the way in, all the way out. And so what I'm doing is I'm bringing in positivity and I'm exhaling negativity just for a minute or two. It doesn't have to be much, but I'm just going to center myself a little bit and relax. Okay. I'm going to initiate mantras. Mantra would be, got this. I can handle this. I'm ready. I repeat this to almost all my clients. I have mantras. I mean, my arm is tattooed with the mantra. I have mantras in my office. I have mantras in my kitchen. I'm in control. I can handle this. I'm ready. Doesn't matter what the task is. I'm empowering myself through words that I can do this. So I'm gonna be my best friend, basically. I'm gonna boost myself up and boost my confidence. I'm gonna bring energy into my body. But if I'm feeling stressed, I'm gonna give myself a timeout. And we do it with kids all the time. When they they start to get antsy and timeout. Go sit in the corner. Go think about what you're doing. And what happens is they just start to kind of chill for a little bit. We can do that too, right? You could do it on the way to work. Turn off the radio, right? Just kind of zone out a little bit. Just kind of be in the present. And breathing does that. And if you want to put some gratitude in there, best thing you can do. Like simple little things. Do we do it? No. Why? Because we're not consciously aware of what we're doing. Right? We just kind of go through the day, not really attacking, you know, this voice in our head that's challenging us all the time. We are not initiating these things. You're not going to initiate positivity. You are programmed to kind of, you know, do what you do subconsciously. But if I'm aware, again, AAA, let's, you know, I got to be aware that I have these negative thoughts. I got to be aware of the signals my body's sending me. Once I'm aware, once I'm consciously aware, you know what? Let me just take a little break. Just gonna take a little time.
It might even, you know, maybe just send, you should send alarm every, your phone to ring every couple hours as a reminder.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, I can appreciate what you're saying, take a break. Mm-hmm. But I, you know, I just envision the way it's going to be. What's the,
well,
the vertical?
Because they don't think they can. I'll give you the story. I'll probably mess this up, but I'll give you the story of two lumberjacks. Right? They carry their axe into the woods and they start chopping. Okay? 30 minutes into the day, the one lumberjack leaves for 30 minutes. The other lumberjack keeps chopping wood. So the lumberjack that left, he comes back at the top of the hour and they start chopping again. And again, after 30 minutes, the lumberjack goes and leaves. And this cycle repeats for the entire day. One lumberjack is just plowing through, right? Constantly chop, 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 chop. The other lumberjack works half the time. And yet at the end of the day, they chop the same amount of wood. And the one lumberjack says, how the heck are you doing the same amount of work in half the amount of time? And the lumberjack goes, well, when I take my break, I sharpen my axe. Sharpen your mind. Sometimes you just need that little break, that little timeout. It gives you a chance to rethink things, right? To reposition things. Because sometimes you're so stuck on a thought, on a path, that you fail to see the other opportunities. This might work for people. Just take a little bit of time out. Just take a little breath, right? Gather your thoughts. And I bet you when you come back, you're going to feel more energized. You're going to feel refreshed. You're going to see the numbers a little bit differently, perhaps. You're going to see different ways to manipulate things or something. I don't know. I think it would probably help. But I know just plowing through it isn't necessarily the best thing. You need to take a little bit of space and time for yourself. I think it'll bring a little bit of peace and grace to everybody.
Well, I think that sounds great, and I'm going to try it. And I think it's a great way to wrap this up.
Okay, perfect.
So it's been a real pleasure. As I said earlier, you know, a very different kind of topic, but probably no less important than learning some technical aspect of a tax issue. You know, it's something we all need to be able to deal with to efficiently and effectively and maybe joyfully. Get our work done.
Exactly. Might as well enjoy the ride. We're here for a finite period of time. Exactly. Might as well enjoy what you do. Exactly. So mindset helps you get through it. It doesn't negate the negativity, but it helps you manage your way through it.
Right. Amazing.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Been a pleasure. So thanks again, Adam, for joining us and sharing your insights. Your perspective on the mindset is really valuable, especially as we're gearing up towards our busy season. And I'm sure a lot of people will take away quite a few good ideas from our discussion. And speaking of tax season, we want to remind everyone that training can be one of the best ways to ensure you and your team are ready for the months ahead. And that's why we've created a new PD series called Tax Compliance Essentials, Foundational Training for Junior and Intermediate CPAs. Whether you're looking to purchase a full package or just need individual courses, it covers everything your team might need to master the essentials of tax compliance. You can visit our website at ajag.ca to find out more about it and get your teams registered today. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll see you next month.